It's Monday, November 30th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. While you were having holiday on Saturday night, we had an episode of Normal Show Live. It's archived now, and you can check it out by download. It's at live.normal.org. Kind of a Hollywood theme. We had actor Hal B. Klein in the first hour talking about the independent films he's been in and his love of cooking with cannabis. And in the second hour, we spoke with Tao Ruspoldy, who is the writer-director of a new movie called Fix that stars Sean Andrews and Olivia Wilde. You might remember Sean Andrews from his role in the movie Dazed and Confused, and Olivia Wilde, she's on that TV show House MD that's on the Fox network. And a really great movie. He sent me a screener copy of it, and if you get a chance to see it, you really should. Check out the website at fixthemovie.com. and listen to the interviews at live.normal.org. Now, today I was sitting down getting ready for work and looking at the stories on the web when I received a phone call from a number I did not recognize. It turned out to be from Jorge Cervantes, the author of Marijuana Horticulture, and of course the longtime author of the Ask Jorge column in High Times magazine, well revered in the community as the master marijuana grower, or one of the masters. And as everyone knows, he's been living in Spain for the past few years, but turned out he was in Portland, Oregon today and for the next couple of days on some personal business. He was calling me. He got my number from the folks at National Normal and called me wanting to just get some contacts and see the sites in Portland, Oregon. So I contacted Madeline Martinez, and we met him down at Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe and sat down for a long afternoon. And it was really fun getting his perspective on the culture in Spain with regards to cannabis and the European perspective and what he's liking about coming back to America. He says there's a whole lot more freedom now than when he left during the Bush administration. And so we got an interview with Jorge at the Cannabis Cafe. That's coming up later here in the stash. And while I was there also, I got a chance to speak with LK, Larry, who's a new member of Oregon Normal's board of directors, and he wanted me to point out a fundraiser happening here in Portland on Friday, December 4th, that benefits the Jack Herrer family. So I'll just play some of this recording here with Larry, and he can tell you all about it.
We're hanging out here at Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe, and I'm joined by LK, a new board member for Oregon Normal.
Yes, I'm so honored.
And also a photographer. You've seen a lot of his work on my Radical Rust pages as I post stuff from the stash and all the different events. So LK's been in with the biz for a while, but he's here today to talk about a benefit here for our good friend Jack Herrer. So why don't you give the folks the details of the benefit and this special challenge you have?
The benefit is we're going to have three bands and a gathering with a raffle, but we also have a challenge from the Waco chapter of Normal and the personal challenge of Madeline Martinez from Oregon Normal of $200, and we'd like to challenge sorry about that, Russ. I challenge all the normal chapters to either meet it or beat it, and let's see if we can't help Jack out.
All right, so a $200 donation from normal chapters. Normal of Waco's in, Oregon Normal's in, so all you normal chapters out there, do what you can. If you can't meet the 200, then just do what you can. Put in 20, put in 50, whatever. It can all help Jack Herrer and his family. You know, these medical bills for these kind of things, he's in the nursing home, right?
Yes, in Eugene.
Yeah, and this stuff really stacks up pretty quickly, so donate all you can to the, is it U.S. Bank?
Yes, any U.S. Bank fund, or you can also send it to Oregon Normal, and they'll get it to us to get to the U.S. Bank, but you could just go right to the U.S. Bank.
Okay, any U.S. Bank branch, donate to the Jack Herrer Fund. That's H-E-R-E-R, Jack Herrer. And let me know here at the Stash. Just send me an email at stash@normal.org, and let me know how much your chapter donated so that we can all do something good for somebody who's benefited all of us here in the cannabis community. LK, thanks for letting us know about this challenge.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to let people know what's going on.
All right, we're all about helping each other. It's all about being a community.
There is peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Roll me something fat and long. Pack me a bowl or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care.
It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. On Tuesday, December 1st, Joplin, Missouri Normal will be having their monthly meeting at the Blackthorn Pub and Pizza. Wednesday, December 2nd, House Bill 1393 goes before the Health and Human Services Committee at the Pennsylvania Capitol Building. And Philly Normal wants you to be there. Check out pa4mmj.org to submit your testimony. That's pa4mmj.org. On Thursday, December 3rd, Cleveland Normal is having their December meeting on the west side at Edison's Pub. And also on Thursday, December 3rd, Philly Normal is having their open meeting at the A-Space at 4722 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Saturday, December 5th, begins the Normal Key West Legal Seminar. You can still register for continuing legal education credits for attendance at the two-day seminar in Key West, Florida. Check out normal.org for more details. Also on Saturday, December 5th, Ohio Normal is having their holiday party at Club Lafayette in Lodi. And Normal Show Live is on the air at live.normal.org. Our guests include the former webmaster for CheechandChong.com and others to be announced. Check out live.normal.org for more details. And on Sunday, December 6th, Jack Cole from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition will be speaking in the morning at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, and in the afternoon twice at the University of Missouri. Check out kcnormal.org or call 888-KC-NORMAL to get more details. And on Sunday, December 6th, Lincoln Normal will be having their Nebraska open meeting at the Coffee House Panache. For more information on all of these events, including contact names, websites, email addresses, maps, and more, check out the Cannabis Community Calendar online at normal.org/calendar.
From Washington, D.C., the belly of the anti-marijuana beast, season's greetings from Normal staff and the board of directors to you and yours. This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal and the Normal Foundation, and I sincerely hope your holidays are both safe and hemp-filled.
Hi, this is Normal founder and legal counsel Keith Stropp, wishing you a happy holiday from Normal. Let's use this time with family and friends to rededicate ourselves to ending marijuana prohibition and stopping the arrest of responsible marijuana smokers. Happy holidays.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. California State Athletic Commission rules against medical marijuana. The California State Athletic Commission's position is that marijuana is a banned substance pursuant to Rule 303 and that any positive drug test may result in discipline. The California Supreme Court has weighed in on medical marijuana in the employment context and has found that an employer may discipline an employee for off-duty medical marijuana use. The court found that the Compassionate Use Act did not legalize marijuana use per se, but merely provided a defense to criminal charges under particular circumstances. The court acknowledged that marijuana still had a potential for abuse and that employers continued to have a legitimate interest in whether an employee uses the drug. The court declined to extend the protections of the Compassionate Use Act any further than the plain language of the act and into the employer-employee relationship. Although the question springs from professional licensing rather than employment, much of the court's rationale applies. Because the Compassionate Use Act only provides a defense to criminal charges, any argument that the act would allow an athlete to use the drug without consequences to his or her license must fail. If the court were to take up a similar challenge to discipline of a licensee, it would likely find that the commission has a legitimate interest in whether or not an athlete uses the drug, because marijuana could slow a fighter's reflexes and endanger his or her health and safety in the ring or the cage. Therefore, given the limited reach of the Compassionate Use Act and the rationale of the Supreme Court in Ross v. Raging Wire Telecom, the commission may safely discipline an athlete without running afoul of any law or court decision. We've been following the cases of Nick Diaz and especially Toby Tigerheart Greer as they've battled the California State Athletic Commission for the right to be able to use their medicine and continue to fight. The irony is that these MMA fighters could use all sorts of painkillers and anti-inflammatories to deal with the rigors of training and face no sanction, but those drugs are more harmful to their health. Marijuana continues to suffer because its metabolites are stored in the body and released over a long period of time. Isn't that something? Our bodies will expel the toxic residues of alcohol and most drugs within 2 days, process and eliminate the liquids we drink and the solids we eat within hours, and exhale the air we breathe every minute, but our bodies will hold on to cannabinoids for weeks. I find it hilarious that the CSAC even attempts to rationalize its decision. The fact is that the law allows them to discriminate, so they will. But to say that marijuana could slow a fighter's reflexes and endanger his or her health and safety in the ring or the cage is an insult to the fighters. Do you really think Nick or Toby or Diego or any of these fighters are stepping into a fight having just hit a gravity bong? This rationale assumes these well-trained athletes are going to purposefully take a substance that diminishes their performance, which in this sport means having your face turned to hamburger by some dude's elbows before he flips you on your back and chokes you unconscious or breaks your elbow backwards. I could give them a tad more respect, as in raising from 0 to 0.1 on a scale of 1 to 10, if they had made the performance-enhancing arguments that were put forth in an ESPN blog coverage of the story. The hypotheticals that marijuana's soothing effect on chronic pain could help mitigate any nagging injuries suffered in training, that its calming effect could make someone less irritated or concerned by their physical fatigue, that it could make an athlete capable of tolerating more trauma in a bout, and inversely, that their reflexes or reaction time could result in serious injury during a bout. Jazz musicians often talk about how marijuana changes their perception of time, how it makes them able to feel syncopation and grace notes that just don't compute when straight. I know many a computer coder who tells of solving intricate logic problems through a flash of insight seen only when high. I imagine there must be some similar experience in professional fighting. Hey, this is a combat sport, right? Let's just settle it in the cage. Next season of The Ultimate Fighter, have one team that's all medical marijuana patients and one team that's not, and let's just see who wins.
ABC News looks at medical marijuana colleges in Michigan. Don't expect to pull an all-nighter at MedGrow Cannabis College. Michigan's first training center for medical marijuana education doesn't ask students for their homework. There are no final exams. Quote, "We're more of a trade school," end quote, said Nick Tennant, MedGrow's 24-year-old founder. As states loosen their medical marijuana laws, institutions such as MedGrow are sprouting up, looking to educate potential caregivers about how to enter the cannabis industry the legal way. Tennant opened the doors of MedGrow's 4,800-square-foot facility near Detroit in September, about 10 months after voters approved the state's Medical Marijuana Act. Tennant fashioned part of his business model after California's Oaksterdam University, which claims to be the country's first cannabis college, opening in 2007. Oaksterdam has three campuses in California, Oakland, Los Angeles, and North Bay. Spokeswoman Salwa Ibrahim said the institution, which staffs about 50 employees, has graduated about 5,500 students. Oaksterdam welcomes the country's new crop of cannabis colleges, she said. Tennant's school employs 12 people, he said. About 60 students are taking courses during this cycle. MedGrow's 5-week semester program, which offers two tracks convening on Monday or Wednesday nights, costs $475. Colorado and Oregon also have new cannabis colleges opening up to teach people how to be compliant with the law and how to grow quality medical marijuana. The people are eagerly signing up for these new classes. When businesses left and right are closing their doors, the medical marijuana industry, from clinics to cafes and colleges to dispensaries, are thriving.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Florida lawmakers propose 25% bong tax.
From Jacksonville.com, Tallahassee, Florida. It might not solve the state's budget crisis, but a bipartisan pair of lawmakers think they've found another item that should be taxed. The bong. Senator Steve Wise, Republican of Jacksonville, and Representative Daryl Rousson, Democrat of St. Petersburg, have both filed legislation that would subject a range of pipes, often used to smoke crack or marijuana, to a 25% tax. Quote, "What we hope to do is get rid of the charade, the hypocrisy," end quote, Rousson said. It's something of a personal crusade for Rousson, who can still recite from memory the date he finally broke his own substance abuse problems. The lawmaker said he's been clean for more than 11 years after struggling with crack, alcohol, and marijuana.
Wow, he still has enough memory to remember a single date in his own personal history. What a feat. I can still remember my first ever junior high locker combination. 9-18-36. Woohoo!
Wise said the aim is to increase the cost of peddling the pipes. Quote, "We're trying to get the wholesalers and jack up the price big time," end quote, Wise said.
So let's see. These two geniuses, Senator Ironic Surname and Representative Memory Master, are going to combat the head shop industry by taxing pipes and bongs that remain legal because the pipe or bong itself isn't illegal until someone smokes pot out of it. The problem, you see, is that they can't just shut down the charade, because technically, you could smoke tobacco out of those pipes and bongs. Okay, so besides two obvious questions, why not just tax the pot they put in the bongs, and why won't people just make apple, potato, or honey bear bongs, I'm seeing a third question that's a bit more subtle. How do you define a tax on certain legal items you don't like because people do illegal things with them, without also taxing the similar legal items people don't do illegal things with? In other words, how do you tax a pot pipe without taxing the tobacco pipe? I suppose you define its composition, like it's made out of glass, and its construction, like it has a carb, and tax only those. But if you do that, aren't you just making a stronger case for the legality of pipes and bongs that will be made to beat the tax? Here's a plastic bong with a cork in the carb. Is that subject to a 25% tax now? If not, is it now defined as a tobacco pipe under Florida law? What about this stainless steel pipe with screwed-on disposable bowl, carb, and mouthpiece covers and a carabiner for your keys? Is it a pot pipe or a decorative keychain? What is the tax on keychains? Besides, they specifically allow an exemption for hookahs because of the Middle Eastern cultural aspects. So, let me get this straight. A foreign culture has centuries of history smoking flavored tobaccos from a multi-user bong. That's okay. But our domestic culture has decades of history smoking cannabis from a single-user bong, and that's not okay. And, of course, nobody would ever consider buying a not-taxed 25% hookah and smoking cannabis out of that, would they? If you could write statutes that distinguish the difference between a pot pipe and a tobacco pipe in order to tax them separately, wouldn't you be able to just write statutes to make the pot pipes illegal in the first place?
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by PlanetFantastic.com and Bella Blue Tie-Dye Fashions. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. The Roots Monday Toker Tune of the Day comes from Cliff Roth and the J.J. Davies Band, originally from the soundtrack of Cliff's 2003 underground stoner cult movie, The Stoned Channel. Hello, My Old Friend Marijuana is a song of yearning and the return of a lost love that is sure to bring a tear to your eye, unless your eyes are already teary from that last huge bong rip you just took. The songs from The Stone Channel span musical styles from reggae, marijuana party time, to the pop middle-of-the-road spoof, Those Were the Bongs, to the folk rock marijuana French toast. There's Indian sitar and New Age, too. Jeffrey J. Davis composed and produced the original songs on the Stone Channel, collaborating with lyricist and executive producer Cliff Roth. Check out the Stone Channel at www.stonedchannel.com. If you've ever had to abstain from cannabis for any period of time, I'm sure you will have no problem relating to the normal daily audio stash Roots Monday Toker Tune of the Day, Hello My Old Friend Marijuana, by Cliff Roth and the J.J. Davis Band.
I was down, I was blue, I had nothing to do. An old friend said, stay here if you wanna. Well, she sure did smell sweet, I needed rest from defeat. Hello, my old friend, marijuana. Hello, my old friend, good to see you again. It's been a while since I last felt your tingle. You make movies more fun, and just laying in the sun, even singing a silly stoner jingle. Well, you're my life, you're my hope, you're my inspiration, old oak. You saved me when I was a goner. You bring joy to this earth, you spread merriment and mirth. Hello, my old friend, marijuana. Hello, my old friend, good to see you again. It's been a while since I last felt your tingle. You make movies more fun, and just laying in the sun, even singing
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations.
We're sitting here at Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe, just very excited to be here with Jorge Cervantes, who many people will know from years and years of writing for High Times Magazine and, of course, all of the marijuana horticulture books. Jorge, thanks for joining us here at the cafe.
Well, hey, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here, Russ.
Now, you spent a lot of your time in Spain. What brings you back to America?
Well, actually, I came back for a lot of personal reasons. I've been gone for so many years, I kind of forget what people look like over here. And I just, you know, there's so much going on over here. I pretty much follow the cannabis movement around the Northern Hemisphere. I lived in America when things started and did so well here in California, Washington, and Oregon, and then I moved to Vancouver when it was a big, very big scene up there, and stayed there for some time, and then later I moved to Amsterdam, lived there for quite a while, and I've been there on and off, and the last 7-8 years I've been in Spain. I've been living there. It's just, there's so much going on, or there was. Things are starting to change now. Western Europe is now right-wing, and except for Spain, and now it's come full circle back to America. It's really interesting. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you just recently signed off on your longtime column in High Times. Danny Danko's doing that now. What's in the future for you as far as writing? Okay.
Well, first, I think Danny is doing a great job, and I couldn't have passed the column to a better guy. I just got burned out doing a column, you know. It's like anything, you get burned out, and that's the time to quit, because then you're not happy.
Sure.
You have to be happy doing things. So that's important. You do better work when you're happy. And now I've been just kind of taking a break, but I came back to America. Damn, there is so much going on here. It's really mind-boggling. It blows me away. It's a different country than the one I left under the Bush administration.
Sure. What stands out to you?
It was nice meeting you, sir.
Oh, nice meeting you as well.
You have a great, wonderful day and enjoy everything we have.
Okay, I sure will, Shane. Thank you so much.
You're very popular here at the cafe.
Well, yeah, there's been a few people that have said hi, and they tend to like my work because it's simple, straightforward, and easy. I don't make things complicated. With a lot of complex subjects, you make, if they're complicated, it's not much fun. So I think that's why. And also, they're very successful people, and they like that too. And they try to give me the credit, but I didn't grow the dope; they did.
Yeah, good point.
We grow some pretty awesome dope.
Madeline Martinez is with us here at the cafe. We're just hanging loose with Jorge Cervantes, and you were talking about how it's not the same country as when you left. Oh, no. We're examining some hash here.
You have that picture, that big ass hash.
Yeah, I have that somewhere. I'll give him a look. But
okay. Ready?
Yes, we're looking at some hash and some fine Oregon cannabis. What do you think?
Yeah, I had to look at it close under a better light, but it looks quite good. It looks like we should smoke it.
I think you'll get unanimous consent of the board at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. We can smoke some of this hash. It looks like a good water hash. It's hard. It's a little different style than we make it in Europe, you know. I'm just kind of getting used to things. We smoke also a lot of Moroccan hash there, too.
Yeah, all
bad. I love Moroccan hash. We get good 00 and other, well, in English you call it butt hash, or we call it culero. And it's a culero comes in what's called a peyota, which means acorn. And it's about this big, about two joints of your little finger, and it comes 10 grams. And people have to swallow it. It's looks like a big horse pill.
Okay.
And they swallow it. You can usually get about, depends on how big your stomach is, about a kilo in your stomach, 2.2 pounds. And then after that, you can get another 200 grams in your rectum. So that's what the people come up with. And then it's all got to come out the rectum. So that's why they call it culero. Yeah. It's excellent. Excellent. Of course, they wrap it with plastic and everything.
That's really thoughtful.
Yeah, that's very thoughtful. So you mentioned earlier how it's not the same country you left during the Bush administration. What's really blown your mind about coming back to America lately?
People have a feeling of hope and freedom.
Yeah.
The economy may be in crisis, you know, but Obama didn't make that happen. It's the economy's been growing for 14 years straight. You know, constant expansion has got to stop. Sometimes things were overheated. But I don't. I feel that things are just, as the older Bush put it, kinder and gentler now.
That's wonderful. And being here in Portland at the cafe, we were just talking recently about how this is kind of a revolutionary change and how they're giving marijuana away here. And how do you feel about this cafe compared to others that you've been to?
Well, first off, I haven't really been to too many. I just got to America a week ago, and I spent time with Thanksgiving and family. And then I saw, it's just kind of foreign to me because I've seen so much money in this. There's always money. It's an illegal product in so many places. And when the money's there, well, then you have tough guys. You know, a lot of tough guys are there. And we tried in Spain through ARSEC, La Asociación de Ramón Santos para el Estudio sobre el Cannabis, which is the legalization society in Barcelona, and it's in a good part of Spain. And they were giving free cannabis, free medicine. They had several growers, and then after a while, the people would just start smoking it, and that was the end of it, you know. And I don't know, it was free dope for everybody, and then they didn't do anything else but sit around and smoke, and nothing happened. Then there was some infighting. They fought with ARSEC, was very close to the Cañamo magazine. Those guys quit getting along, and it just kind of fell apart, like so many of the well-intentioned old hippie things did. Because, you know, all these guys that started were all hippies, right? And so it's surprising here. I'll see how it'll go, but I really think that you guys need an income stream a lot, because it takes money to make all this stuff work. And, you know, you got to have money. Money's okay. That's what works, you know.
and you got to be here to serve people. You know, so it's foreign to me, and I hope it works. We'll see. I like the idea. It sounds good, but only time will tell how well it works.
Sure.
You know, you had mentioned how Europe has kind of come around and swung to being very right-wing. But how about the European people themselves and their attitude toward cannabis? Is there something we could learn here in the States from Europeans?
Yeah, it's no big deal. That's about it. And in Spain, you know, I know Spain very well. And, I lived there for so many years. I lived there when Franco was there, you know. And he was the last. For people that don't know, Francisco Franco, he was El Caudillo de España, well, the leader, the dictator of Spain. He died on November 20th, 1975. And that's like the day of independence for España, no? And so we smoked hash during that time. It was no big deal. The military brought it back from Marruecos because they tried to control, what do you call Marruecos? Morocco. They tried to control it. They couldn't, you know, the desert beat them. And they came back with hash. And all the fishermen have been smoking it. The country's a peninsula. It's got coastline everywhere. You can't control it.
Yeah.
And so hash is old in Spain, old, old. And cannabis had a hard time, or marijuana plants had a hard time getting started there, because what happened is the good hash, you can buy it for 2 euros to 6 euros a gram, right? And a gram is 28, there's 28 grams to an ounce. So you could buy it so cheap, and that the cannabis plants had a hard time getting established because the price of cannabis marijuana was cannabis plant is like six to seven grams or euros per a gram. So you can see there's a price differential. So people would buy their pedazo, their bellota. They would buy that on Friday when they get paid and they have their thing. But this costs, the marijuana costs three times as much. So why buy it? So finally the hash price went up a little bit. The marijuana price came down and people are starting to grow both of them. But they grow a hell of a lot of pot in Spain, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's sunny. It's sunny. They've got all the climates of America. But they're very individualistic there, and they grow a lot.
Fantastic. One last thing, you know, you worked on, you know, some of the greatest marijuana cultivation books, and you wrote your column for so long, and now there seems to be like a renaissance in technologies for indoor growing. We see things like LED and all these things. What are your opinions on some of the new technologies out there?
You know, I mean, it's funny. I'm a little slow with stuff. I came here, I have a lot of learning to do. I live in Spain and we're a little backwards, you know. They say a lot of times, the French say the Africa starts at the Pyrenees. So, you know, I mean, I got good French friends, so I'm not saying that as like a slur or anything. But, I don't have a great opinion. I've seen these LED lights, I've read a bit about them. I've been to two gardens that I've seen that are good gardens. You know, I mean, people tell me things I don't believe, so I have to see them because, you know, they make stories up, and it's, you know, I have to see it with my own eyes and ask many questions to believe it. But I think they're going to be the future, is what it appears like to me. But I don't know enough about. Like I say, it's got to be at least 1 watt to be a good lamp, and now they've got 2 watts. They've got a 5 watt lamp. But it's a class one laser. It's just too bright. So it can burn your retinas if you've got any kind of, like, what do you call it? If you're albino, if you've got weak eyes, it can burn your retinas. So I really don't know. I need to do some really homework before I can give a good answer.
Okay.
I do.
Well, I'm sure you'll be looking up all that stuff, and we look forward to anything that you put out that you'll write here in the future. Is there a website or some place that you'd like to tell people about?
Yeah, I have a website, marijuanagrowing.com. It's marijuana with a J instead of an H. I spell it, not the Latin way or the Italian way. And then, and also, I mean, there's also a lot of places you can go. I mean, High Times is just one magazine. I write for 20 magazines in 10 different languages.
Wow.
You know, I mean, there's magazines in Poland, Hungary, Austria, no? Well, but there's good German language, 2, 3, 4 magazines. There's There's Dutch, French. French is huge, even though it's very illegal there. There's Italian. We have books. I've got books in seven different languages, including Japanese. And then next year we'll have the Bible will be in Russian.
Oh, wow.
I'm very happy about that. So it's a global movement. This is not just because America's big doesn't mean it's the only place they grow dope.
That's good to know. Well, hey, Cervantes, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We appreciate it. And it looks like Madeline has finished up with the hash there, so we better get busy. We'll talk to you again later. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much, Russ. And, hey, normal's the way to go.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder to check out tomorrow's Normal Daily Audio Stash, which will be our 400th show since I took over this podcast from Chris Goldstein back in 2008. We'll be featuring the California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner. Also coming up on forthcoming Normal Daily Audio Stash is some great interviews with some fantastic women you've seen on your Good Morning America, Fox and Friends, and other mainstream media channels. Maiko Hester Perez has been on the news lately talking about giving medical marijuana to her autistic son. She'll be joining us on a future stash. And Dr. Julie Holland will be on the show. She's the doctor who's been defending medical marijuana on the various stiletto stoner stories that have been on the media recently. And she's the author of the book Weekends at Bellevue. Thanks for downloading the podcast. We'll have more for you all this week and throughout the rest of 2009. Also bringing you some of our favorites from the year's past stories. So until next time, take care of each other, tokers.